Peck. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House has pulled today's signing of the executive order to dismantle the Department of Education, multiple sources tell ABC News, and added that there is concern among top administration officials about the blowback that President Trump's order would receive, including questions on how the directive would impact the school lunch program. ABC's Alex Perche says Congress also needs to be on board.
Even if Linda McMahon, the Department of Education secretary, wants to follow through, in order to dissolve this agency, he needs an act of Congress, and they need 60 votes. They need Democrats to be on board with this. And frankly, there is no Democratic support that we're aware of right now.
President Trump announcing on social media he's giving a 30-day reprieve on tariffs for Mexico after speaking with Mexico's president. That delay until April 2nd is for those participating in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Parts of the country still cleaning up following severe storms this week. Airports making up for a backlog of cancellations. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. President Donald Trump on Tuesday imposed 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico and doubled the tariff on China to 20%. Wisconsin's largest foreign market in 2024 was Canada. The $7.9 billion worth of goods exported there represented 29% of the state's total exports, followed by $4.4 billion in exports to Mexico and $1.6 billion to China. Those figures are from the Office of the United States Trade Representative. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers blames Republicans in Congress for not opposing the Trump administration on tariffs.
If Congress thought through this for 2 minutes, they'd understand how bad tariffs are. And it's going to be hell to pay. This is not a good situation.
During a WisPolitics luncheon in Madison on Tuesday, the Democratic governor summed up his feelings on the situation in Washington.
Do some praying, folks. This is not good for our country. Simple as that. I understand the needs to bring fairness to trading and all that. They can do that without stopping the trains. So it sucks. It's bad. It's no good. I'm irritated, and all of you should be irritated, too, and I think you are.
State Democrats have introduced a bill that would require the Wisconsin state legislature to convene a special session if federal funding is frozen. The legislation was introduced by Eau Claire's Christian Phelps and named the Frozen Federal Funds Emergency Act. In a press release, Phelps called the funding freezes unlawful, reckless, and cruel, and said the state needs to be ready to provide whatever support it can for communities that lose needed funding. Republicans hold majorities in both the state assembly and the state senate. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Badgers beat the Gophers in Minnesota. Matt LaPay on the Badgers radio network.
Inbounds pass to Tanjay. They'll let him dribble out the clock, and the Badgers make it 9 straight against Minnesota as the Badgers win it by 7. Final score tonight, Wisconsin 74, Minnesota 67.
John Blackwell with 25 points. The Badgers 21 for 24 from the free throw line. That's the best in the nation. Great guard.
You know, you get on the road, the fact that we were able to really be solid with the ball the second half and get to the free throw line was really important.
Marquette with a loss at UConn, 72-66. The Golden Eagles host number 6th-ranked St. John's on Saturday. NBA, the Bucks over the shorthanded Mavericks, 137-107. Giannis scoring his 20,000th career point.
20,000 points is, obviously, when I go on the court, I'm a competitor, I'm going to compete, that's who I am.
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bright and beautiful today with high temperatures flirting with 40 and winds still a touch breezy out of the west. We become mostly cloudy tonight with lows falling to the mid-20s, and for tomorrow, a few more clouds in the morning and more sunshine in the afternoon with high temperatures trying to tap 40. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, March 6th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Sunny skies in downtown Madison here at the World Headquarters on State Street. Lots of school buses. Time of year, Mr. Zommers, when school districts around Wisconsin, particularly fourth graders, still take that trip here down to Madison for some Wisconsin history lessons at the state capitol.
Oh, I remember that. I'm never going to forget that trip. That was right. So cool.
It really is. And particularly for folks, I think, outside of a half hour, 45 minute radius of Madison. Yeah, I still think there are families, particularly in northern Wisconsin, maybe western Wisconsin, even some in southwestern Wisconsin, where it's still a big deal to go to Madison.
It always was for me. I don't think I had ever been there before that fourth grade trip. And then until I moved here, it was only a couple of times besides that anyway.
Yeah. And again, we've been all over the state. So this is not to say Madison's better than anybody else, but it's the seat of state government. The Capitol building is extraordinary, like no other building, certainly in the state of Wisconsin. And so it's great to get the kids down here and that great this time of year. Brittany Merlot is saying that a little cool today, but it's going to warm up. Maybe be for some parts of Wisconsin a little muddy, actually, at least in that top layer, some melting going on after much of Wisconsin got several inches of snow over the last 36 hours or so. But a beautiful day today. Dave checking in New Berlin on the text line saying, Todd wearing the Civic Media swag today. Yes. For those watching the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, the like, I have mine. I believe this is my favorite Civic Media shirt.
That's a good one.
And it's kind of a dark purple, a mauve, if you will, with kind of a light blue state of Wisconsin. And it has all these little circles around it. And you think, well, that kind of looks Art Deco-ish or something. No. Well, it is. But it represents the map. It's a map, basically, of our coverage area with all of our 20-some-odd stations all across the state of Wisconsin. And it shows you the vast reach of civic media all across the state. And then it says, tune into your community, civic media. And if you'd like one of these, they're available at the Civic Media Swag store. Simply go to civicmedia.us. Is it shop or store?
And click on store. Yep.
Store. All right. Thank you. Click on store and you too can be wearing one of these. I love the material in this one too. It's a lighter weight material and it's a little forgiving on the waist. They run, I don't want to say they run really big, but kind of true-ish to size. This, I have a large on and I'm right between now, a medium and a large until I start going on my diet. and get back down to mediums. But anyway, you can get these wonderful t-shirts at civicmedia.us and store. Coming up today, by the way, Jane and Greg, Jane Matner and Greg Bach on the great show Before Hours, Matner and Air, they asked whether they could come on the first few minutes of our show. And I said to them, absolutely, because they have this great thing at the end of their show every day called It Shouldn't Be a Thing. And they choose some crazy, hitherto unknown story, and that just makes no sense, but yet goofy humans do it. And today, it was some goofball who went into like a K jeweler's and said he was going to buy diamonds for his girlfriend, and they laid them out for him. And he swipes them off the table and runs out the door. And in order to not be caught, he swallows them. Diamond earrings. Big ones.
For those of you who may be wondering, diamonds are pretty sharp.
They're a girl's best friend, but not if they're in your intestines and stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, they were just talking about, and they said, well, we need to continue this discussion.
We told them no.
I texted them on my Civic Media app, and I said, come on along. But they may have meetings. I don't know. But if they're listening, call, and we're always happy to give them a few minutes to carry over. So that's the kind of fun and games, along with great information, every day from 10 until noon, right before us, Matt Nair on Air. On our show, going to be a lot of fun in hour number two in particular, a what's worse today you do not want to miss. History as well. Wisconsin dairy industry history. Oleo, better known as margarine, will be in hour number two. So that'll be a lot of fun. Also got a cut here, Zobbers has for us, Brad Shimsham. That's Brian Shimsham Shimming. This Brad Schimmel, former Republican governor, Republican Attorney General of Wisconsin, and now he's running for Supreme Court. And yesterday, apparently, he was on the news shooting off. What is it about these people in my former party? They don't like the elderly, which I find odd. First, you had Eric Hovde, OC Eric Hovde out there at Orange County, who thought it'd be nice and fun to come back to Wisconsin and run for U.S. Senate with a mustache. And he starts carrying on how people in nursing homes are all incompetent and shouldn't vote.
He didn't say all. He just said most.
Most. And now this guy, Schimmel, he's shooting his mouth off now, saying again that there's all this fraud and that people in nursing homes are incompetent, which I find fascinating. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also going to talk about the difference between addresses to Congress, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, when it comes to standing up for Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. We're going to talk about the 80,000 cuts to the Veterans Affairs Department. Democrats also standing up for Ukraine. We're going to start closer. And also, more cuts coming, apparently, at Department of Education. That's the agency du jour of Donald Trump, going after the Department of Education. So we'll get to that a little bit as well. But I want to start here in Wisconsin with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked about this a little bit yesterday as we were coming on or going off the air, because this broke during our show yesterday, the Marquette Law School poll. And in Wisconsin, the Marquette Law School poll helped being run by our friend Charles Franklin, who has been a frequent guest on this program. You can't find a straighter shooter than Charles Franklin, a guy who's taught both at UW-Madison and Marquette, not a partisan guy. He's one of these guys who loves facts. He also loves a good whiskey or bourbon as well. But that's fantastic. Not while he's doing the poll, of course, but in his free time. And also, he is a connoisseur of coffee. Great guy, Charles Franklin. Anyway, they put out their latest poll. And Dan Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel writes this up and says, about a month ahead of the April 1st election, a large percentage of Wisconsin voters still do not have an opinion about the two candidates running for the state Supreme Court, according to the new Marquette University Law School poll. The poll found that conservative Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel has been viewed favorably by 29% of registered voters and unfavorably by 32%. About 2 out of 5 said they had no opinion of him. In contrast, his opponent, liberal Dane County Judge Susan Crawford, was given favorable ratings by 19% of voters compared to 23% who viewed her unfavorably. Nearly 3 out of 5 said they did not know enough about her. So that means that more people know Brad Schimmel, not unexpected since he served as a statewide attorney general. So more people know him. He has a higher favorability, but also a higher unfavorability. Fewer people know Susan Crawford, but she has a lower favorable and lower unfavorable. Politicians trying to avoid having higher unfavorables than favorable percentages, Bice writes, a condition known as being underwater politically. The numbers show Schimmel was underwater by 3 percentage points, while Crawford was underwater by 4. Franklin said he chose not to do a head-to-head ranking, which respondents would say which candidate they preferred, because the high percentage of voters do not know either candidate. Another poll is not planned before the election, so we're not going to get a head-to-head. But Franklin, this is Todd, my summarization here. Franklin basically saying, look, not enough people know these guys, so we're not going to do a head-to-head. Franklin said, quote, "We didn't ask the horse race question," unquote. The poll surveyed 864 registered voters between February 19th and the 26th, the margin of error plus or minus 4.6 percentage points. The poll found that 39% of respondents had heard a lot about the Supreme Court race, while 42% said they had some familiarity with the race. Nearly 1 in 5 said they had not heard anything about the contest. Now, that's the fact that we talked about this a little bit that really stuns me. You know, we focus on this stuff. We're constantly getting news, information, stuff like that. But the fact that nearly 1 in 5 people said they knew nothing about this race, 42% said only somewhat familiar with the race. What that tells me, not a sophisticated poll person, but just as a person who pays attention and used to run political campaigns, that tells me that people are checking out of the news. It reinforces in quantitative data what I've heard around the state of Wisconsin when I sit at bars in Hayward or coffee shops in Amory or at the Packers Pro Shop in Green Bay. And I bring up this show or civic media or any news and they say, Todd, I just tune out. I get overwhelmed. I get anxiety. I don't know I can do anything about it. I'm not paying attention. And I'm like, well, but what about the consequences? And they're kind of like, yeah, I'll deal with it when it happens. So this poll basically is showing a lot of people feel that way. And look, who can blame them? Who can blame them? Back to this story here by Daniel Bice in the Journal Sentinel. Overall, a little more than a majority of registered voters said they had a clear view of Schimmel's position in the race. But 35% said they had not heard enough. For Crawford, 41% said they knew where she stood on issues, while 42% said they were unaware. Franklin said the voters' unfamiliarity with candidates will change as the election nears. Well, yes, I mean, just turn on the TV, right? I mean, that's just crazy. Other interesting details in this race, we're going to come back and talk about just a little bit more. And also hear this cut from Brad Schimmel. His thoughts on people in nursing homes. Astounding. Don't want to miss it. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday. We're here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on March 6th. That's a Thursday. Zommer's on the board talking a little bit more about this Marquette Law School poll that came out yesterday. Daniel Bice writes a column today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about it. A couple other interesting factoids here from this poll at Marquette. Nearly 80% of registered voters said that they prefer the court candidates discuss the issues during the race. That was true of both Republicans and Democrats. And where this comes from is that traditionally in Supreme Court races, and this is a whole other bottle of wine, cup of coffee, I still maintain in Wisconsin that the governor should appoint the Supreme Court justice and be confirmed by the Senate like they do at the national level for like a, you know, whatever, a 15-year, 20-year period. But we don't do it that way. That's a whole other discussion. So we elect our Supreme Court justices. And so, you know, in years past, it was tawdry. It was unseemly. It just wasn't done. If you were running for Supreme Court and they asked you about an issue, like abortion, voting, whatever, the response was always, well, that may come before me on the court, so I can't discuss that. So, I mean, you know, Supreme Court debates were basically, I don't know. It was like, do you like the Constitution? Yes, I do.
Will you rule impartially? Of course.
Right. It was like watching paint dry, basically. And now, I mean, more recently, conservatives and liberals running for the court have started to put their toe in the water of actually talking about issues. And 80% of voters said, we like that. We actually want to know how you stand on something before we vote for you. But back to this story, a strong majority said of voters that they don't like it, that the state Republican and Democratic parties are now contributing millions of dollars to the Supreme Court candidates. According to the poll, 61% of the public believes these donations reduce the independence of candidates. Well, that's a fact. And of course, Elon Musk, his super PAC called America PAC, a grand total now reported spending up to $3.2 million on digital ads, texting, voter turnout in support of Brad Schimmel. Among those, ads that appear to be in support of Crawford, but actually attack her. So there's that. Meanwhile, Crawford is being helped by TV ads paid for a Better Wisconsin Together that attacks Schimmel. That group is reported spending $2.3 million. So it's happening. It's just that Elon's putting in about $1.5 million more so far. Spending is expected to exceed $56 million in a race that will be decided on April 1st. No fooling. April 1st. There you go. Here's another interesting factoid in this Marquette Law School poll. This kind of, I know our own Stuart J. Waddles, news director at WAUK Milwaukee, Waukesha. And this is one I think that folks need to pay attention to. In the poll yesterday, Marquette Law School, respondents said that the Republican Party is seen favorably by 47% of the general public and unfavorably by 52%. And you say, well, okay, more than half the people view the Republican Party unfavorably, but just barely. But then you look on the other side. The Democratic Party, according to this Marquette Law School poll, is viewed favorably by only 34% of the public and unfavorably by 62%. I mean, it ain't even close. And I think this was what has, in a larger context, this was what has a lot of folks concerned. That Democrats, the Democratic Party, have an image problem. They have a marketing problem. And more centrist folks are going to say, look, we have to, as Brian Schatz said, the Democratic U.S. Senator from Hawaii, we have to start talking more like normal people and not spending so much time on more fringe issues that don't poll well, by the way. In this Marquette Law School, for instance, on this voter ID thing, right? There's a constitutional referendum coming up on April, basically saying that should only U.S. Citizens vote. 77% of Wisconsinites support that.
So even though it's already the law, it doesn't matter.
Right. So here it is. The photo ID vote is favored by 77%, opposed by 22%. Marquette Law School poll says that in a dozen polls since 2012, the lowest support for photo ID requirement was 63%, and that was back in 2014. When asked in August of 2021, 74% favored photo ID. So if 77% of Wisconsin voters are in favor of something, even though if you really dig into the facts, you can understand why that's skewed. But if you have 77% of your electorate that is in support of something, why would you spend your time really pushing that one issue and putting it out there on up front? It's no wonder that Democrats are way underwater on their perception. There are other issues in this poll, like Medicaid, which Wisconsinites are 100% for. Not 100%, but I mean, they're very much in favor. Here's one. 64% of Wisconsin voters favor legal abortions in all or most cases. That's a good one. Medicaid, Wisconsinites support that. Education, Wisconsinites support that. So instead of Democrats putting these issues out there and leading on them that are vastly unpopular, They want to die on a hill and tilt at windmills. Now, on the far left, I'm going to say far left. The progressive law, really progressive wing of the party. Those folks are angry because they say that that's what Democrats should be standing for. And why aren't the Democrats taking bold steps to be brave and to push things through? And this is what's dividing the Democrats and making it very difficult for them to win elections. Also, raise money. We'll come back and tell you how bad after this. Take your phone calls as well. Stay tuned for Pam Jahnke and the Farm Report. This is Todd Albaugh on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin dairy is reeling after tariffs started knocking product movement out of whack to Mexico and Canada. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Thursday. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Dairy producer and analyst with EverEgg, Bryce Windecker, joins us. He says it's not just the tariffs that could disrupt trade relationships. New Zealand's latest strategy to offset their increased milk production is to target some of our hot markets, like Japan.
New Zealand's milk production is up 5% on a volume fluid basis. And now that China isn't buying as much powder because they just simply don't need it, their economy is very sluggish and slow. We're seeing New Zealand make slightly more of their product into cheese instead of that powder now. And they're going to go after our Southeast Asian market. And our number two buyers of cheese would be Japan and South Korea. Number two and three.
Bryce Windecker, along with us. He's a dairy analyst with EverEgg and a dairy producer himself out of New York. He introduces us to some of the other moving parts in today's dairy markets aside from tariffs, including some competition in some of our hot markets. We'll be taking a look at what Class 3 fluid milk is doing after this.
Well, hold on to your britches, everybody. It's time to go nuts at the Springfield Corners Testicle Festival. March 8th, you can enjoy deep-fried delicacies along with ice-cold beverages and live music by the Lights Out Band. Join me, the fabulous Farm Babe, along with the rest of the Midwest Farm Report team at Springfield Corners for your chance to win concert tickets and to try some fried Rocky Mountain oysters. It all kicks off after 2 p.m. on March 8th. Springfield Corners. See Facebook for more details.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
As we talked about earlier with EverEgg's Bryce Windecker, dairy continues to take a hit in the market. The April Class 3 milk contract is down 10 cents at $17.24 a hundredweight, and the May contract is down 11 cents, trading at $17.63. Grain markets are seeing a pop midday on a Thursday. Cash corn up 13 and a quarter at $4.69 a bushel. December new crop corn up a nickel and three quarters at $4.52 and a half. Cash soybeans are trading up 20 cents at $10.31 and three quarters. November new crop beans up 13 and a quarter at $10.22 and three quarters. And July new crop wheat is up 10 and a half cents at $5.72 and a half. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful today, with high temperatures flirting with 40 and winds still a touch breezy out of the west. We become mostly cloudy tonight, with lows falling to the mid-20s, and for tomorrow, a few more clouds in the morning and more sunshine in the afternoon, with high temperatures trying to tap 40. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 34 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we will review the Marquette University Law School polling. Also, can cod liver oil and vitamin A cure the measles? Plus, what demographic is the president losing bigly? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. I'm just an ordinary average guy. My friends all are boring, and so am I. We're just ordinary average guys.
Welcome back to the Tell All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A couple of average, ordinary guys, All Ball and Zommers. 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Thursday, March 6th. That's pretty good.
Kind of a weird tune.
Yeah, but we're pretty ordinary. We're pretty average. We're average people. We don't try to put ourselves off as anything great shakes. We're just here to observe and offer a couple of comments based on experience. Talking about this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Dan Bice and the Marquette Law School poll that came out showing that most people don't know enough about the Supreme Court candidates to have an opinion, which I find both fascinating but also confirming. In the sense that as we've traveled the state, most people have just said, look, I get depressed by the news. So it makes sense people kind of tune out until the last minute, like, oh, I guess I got to know something. And that's why we get all these gosh darn ads that drive us crazy.
I mean, that's kind of how I was before I started working here and realizing right. that, wait, I can actually, you know, do something. And knowing this actually does help me and the people around me.
Yeah. Brad Schimmel, as we said, let's play this cut, Zommers. Schimmel, tell us who this program was on. Let's credit them so nobody thinks we're stealing this.
Yeah, this was Vanessa Keldsen on WMTV 15 News in Madison.
All right, interviewing Brad Schimmel, the conservative candidate, and asking him about his position on the 2020 election, voting, and nursing homes.
So to clarify, do you think that there were any issues with voter fraud in 2020?
I saw the news reports that anybody saw where we heard that year that there were people who were in nursing homes who had been incompetent, ruled incompetent for voting for years, who suddenly voted in that election. And we didn't have the special voting deputies in to the sworn voting deputies in to make sure that this is on the up and up. Absolutely. There is some fraud like that. Sure.
Once again, and this is something, again, a narrative that Republicans try to use. Eric Hovde, OC, Orange County, Eric Hovde of beautiful Southern California tried to use this against Tammy Baldwin in the U.S. Senate race. Thankfully, it did not work. This narrative that people, once you go into a nursing home, assisted living, elder care, that you're incompetent. I know a lot of people that are in assisted living. In what you would be called nursing homes. They're wonderful, vibrant people well into their 90s who keep track of the news better than most of us and who vote. Maybe Brad Schimmel's fear is that folks in nursing homes are going to start paying attention to the news, which they already are, and find out that Republicans, like Schimmel's old buddy Scott Walker and Donald Trump, and Derek Van Orten, and Glenn Grothman, and Tom Tiffany, and Scotty Fitzgerald, all those folks are in the process of cutting programs that people in nursing homes rely upon, like Medicaid and Medicare. Because all of this stuff that, not all of it, many of the things, and some of it that I talk about, and I'll admit that, because I think that it's important to address some of these big lies head on and give you the facts. But much of this stuff is to fog it up. A friend of mine sent me something this morning about the fog out there, and he's absolutely right. And what I'm trying to do is cut through the fog a little bit here and say, here's what really matters. And one of the things that's really going to matter quickly, coming up in a week or so, the government needs to pass, federal government, a continuing resolution or a bill to keep government funding, or the federal government will shut down in its entirety. And then there's the budget coming up in which Republicans and Donald Trump and Elon Musk, in order to get the tax cuts that they say they need, the only way you could do that, simple, even a guy like me who's not great at math can understand this. The only way you can get to those trillion-dollar tax cuts is by cutting entitlement programs such as Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. So that's why Brad Schimmel is trying to say we got to be careful about these folks in nursing homes because, you know, they might be angry and might actually vote. And remember, we just had that state audit that came out, the audit of the 2024 election, zero fraud. Well, zero fraud. There were four people, human counting things, that had the wrong four. All the machines were correct. Let's play the cut quickly, and I'll get to the phones. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Hang on the lines a bit longer, folks, we're going to get to you. I just want to take us back a year. We just got done hearing President Trump give his presidential address. Let's go back 1 year to Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, standing in the same place. And he brought up Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Many of my friends on the other side of aisle want to put Social Security on the chopping block. If anyone here tries to cut Social Security, Medicare, or raise the retirement age, I will stop you. The working people who built this country pay more into Social Security than millionaires and billionaires do. It's not fair. We have two ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. I will. That's the proposal. Oh, no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear.
See, that's how you do it. Doesn't it seem incredible that was a year ago?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, a year ago, that's where we were. A vibrant Joe Biden standing in the well of the U.S. House and getting Republicans in front of the nation to yell out and say, no, we don't want to cut Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. He goaded them, Biden did. Because remember, Rick Scott of Florida actually had the plan. Biden said, come to my office. I got it. I got your plan. And he called him out and he said, you guys are want to do this. And remember how Ron Johnson, he screamed like a scalded cat and ran for the hills? That's the way that you connect with voters. That's the way you do it. Joe Biden knew how to win elections. I'm not saying he should have been the nominee in 2024. But he knew how to reach across the aisle and get people in the middle and connect on real issues. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, where are we starting, Zombers? Start with Brian in Maguanago. Brian, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to chime in about something I had brought up with Mr. Earl Ingram a couple of months back, and that my frustration with the Democratic Party and everything that's going on, and basically how we got to this point. And I had stated that I felt that the Democrats were, you know, partially to blame for why we are here where we are, that be it messaging or just lack of action on certain policies.
Agreed.
But what I mentioned, what Mr. Zalmer asked me, what I wanted to talk about, and I said voter apathy. Back when I was just turning 18 and I voted for Ross Perot because I thought it was a joke. And then I didn't vote for barely anything for the longest time. And then I started listening to civic media and I started getting a whole lot more involved. And I was voting in every single election I could. And now I can't say I feel any more apathetic than even when I was a kid. I feel more apathetic now than I did when I was younger.
Why is that?
And
I'm curious.
Well, part of it was because of what I saw the other night when Trump was giving his speech and the Democrats were holding up these paddles. Mm-hmm. And I was just, it was so disheartening. I've been calling the Democrats feckless for a while now, and I believe it to be so. When AOC was up for that, committee chair, and the powers that be didn't let her have. They gave it to some guy who's, you know, got one foot in the grave. And you know, the Democratic machine got too used to all their corporate donations. They're just as guilty as a lot of the Republicans when it comes to, you know, money and politics. And let me ask you this,
because I'm up against the clock here. I want to get other people a chance. Yep. Quickly, if you can, as my former boss, Scott Klug, used to ask me once in a while driving around. He said, if you ruled the world, and you don't, but if you ruled the world, Brian, what would you have the Democrats do to make you less apathetic, to excite you as a voter?
Do more than strongly worded letters and, you know, always taking the high road, because it's not working.
All right. I appreciate that.
That's all.
Stick around. I got a take on Al Green, because I had an opinion yesterday and I want to play what he said yesterday. And as they say in Congress, revise and extend my remarks. 855-752-4842. Mark in Pertisac. Mark, thanks for holding on. What say you?
Yeah, I think, well, first you brought up for the voter ID thing. Maybe what the Democrats need to do is pass something so they can say, guarantee people are able to access the way to get a voter ID and make it guarantee their right to vote, because they actually have the proper identification that they need to vote. And for Brad Schimmel, we should say BS Brad Schimmel, because we all know what BS means. Yeah. His initials match perfectly for that, because he's never been anyone that's been less than full of that particular material.
Yeah, I think that the fact that he, like Hovde, is saying that people in nursing homes should be questioned about their ability to vote, I think a lot of people will find that offensive.
And also, another thing to note, Brad Schimmel knows it's wrong. If you listen, I heard more of the interview last night on the news. And before that, he was speaking confidently. He's asked this question, and he's stumbling through the answer. Like, he knows that it's nonsense.
But he's playing to the base. And you look at the poll numbers, and you see why. This is going to be a very basic election. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul. Wisco, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hi, good afternoon. As far as Schimmel goes, he's done for fair match. And one of the reasons you had so many downbeat Democrats is because the maps were gerrymandered. And you didn't even feel like, if you lived in a lot of these districts, you had a say. Because you really didn't, because the Republicans picked their voters. So it's a lot fairer right now. So that's a step in the right direction. And you know, with Schimmel, you're not going to get fair maps. You're not going to get a fair shake on a lot of things, because he's a Scott Walker boy.
Sure.
Also, on the national side of things here, if you don't think the Republicans are coming for Medicaid, I don't know about Medicare, but Medicaid, you're wrong. You're coming for that, because they need that money to fund these tax cuts for the wealthy. And if you don't think they're going to do that, you're also wrong.
Right. Appreciate the call, Wisco. Thank you so much. Up against the clock here. Let's go quickly to WCFW in Eau Claire. Our friend Gene up there. Gene, if you can make a quick 1 minute, please.
Yes, I'm calling to say, outstanding job. Keep up the great work. Please keep playing from Schimmel's own voice the words that he has said previously, now, and ongoing. Thank you so much. Seriously, Todd, you're doing an outstanding job. Thank you.
Well,
bye.
We appreciate you and all you folks make the show go. 855-752-4842. Ollie up the Northwoods. Ollie, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, I just want to say that Schimmel's view of nursing homes is a crock. There are a lot of people who live in nursing homes. I worked in one for a while. My dad was also in one for a while towards the end of his life. And his cognitive abilities were A1. He only went in to the nursing home after a surgery. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people in nursing homes who are there for rehab, or who are there because they just can't make it in their own homes. But that doesn't mean they're not smart enough to vote.
Right. No, I totally agree, Ollie. As someone who has had grandparents use nursing homes, has spent a lot of time in them, worked with nursing home administrators, I find it one of the highest privileges that we could ever have, getting to care for someone in the twilight of their life. There's dignity there if we approach it that way. And the fact that Trump and Musk and Republican leaders are now looking at cutting Medicaid dollars and disenfranchising the elderly to give billionaires tax cuts, I find appalling. Stay tuned. Come on back. Todd revises and extends remarks. You don't want to miss it. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zommer is on the board now, 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News coming up in the hour number two. Little What's Worse for You, Oleo Edition, butter or margarine? Very controversial. Not for me, but for but for some. Welcome back to the show. Great to have you along. Making an appearance, ladies and gentlemen, from beautiful WXCO Bull Falls Radio, our great station up there, one of the two hardest working men in civic media company, Chad Holmes. How are you, my
friend? Just wandering the halls, wandering the streets here in Madison. I decided to stop by. I've never been at the world headquarters.
I cannot believe that. You've never been building?
I'd never into the last time I came, you were at the old building.
Oh, over on University Avenue.
Yeah.
We were doing the broadcast out of the back of a Panera. So that was interesting.
I know. This is much different.
Much better. Much cool. Now, you host a great show every day from did you do your show in the drive?
Did. Yep.
You made good time.
And I see one of my guests from this morning's show on your big board.
Well, yeah, I see that. We'll talk more about Chad. But he and Phil Nee, because Chad and Phil, they have shows in the morning. They have talk shows. They do high school sports. And I appreciate you so much. But, yeah, so we're talking a little bit about Brad Schimmel and the Supreme Court race. 855-752-4842. Nancy up in beautiful Wausau. Nancy, Chad Holmes is here in person. How serendipitous. How are you?
Hi, and hi again, Chad.
Yeah, I talked to her a couple hours ago.
What do you have for us?
Well, I just wanted to comment on this crap with Schimmel and with the Republicans and Medicaid. You know, I'm looking at, you know, up here just north of me, 40% of the people in those nursing homes are on Medicaid. Yep. You're going to take that away from what you're crippling the Northwoods for one. Mm-hmm. You're crippling everybody in the state. And we need to vote for Susan Crawford. Okay. That's
Thank
all
you.
I've got. Have a good time tonight, Chad. Bye.
Thanks, Nancy. And real quick, Nancy, you know, she's the chair of the Marathon County Democratic Party, and they had an event with Judge Crawford recently, and it really kind of crystallizes, I think, a lot of what is often right with our politics and our civics and what is wrong. Because I looked at, they had a packed house of 75 folks asking and getting questions answered by Judge Crawford. And then you have a man that will never step foot in this state, Elon Musk, putting in millions of dollars. Yeah. And again, I mean, and we were talking actually on the air this morning. I said, yes, the law has been made at this point. We may not like it, but that Elon Musk is able to put that money somehow into our elections. But the thing that kind of annoyed me, and I'm sure you saw it with Dan Bice's column about, you know, trying to twist, you know, make these so-called pro-Crawford messages, and they're really anti-Crawford. I mean, but I saw the pictures of the event with Judge Crawford in Wausau last week that Nancy had sent over, and it just said to me everything I was right. These are people that go and knock on doors, the 75 people in that room talking to the judge and working at the real grassroots level. And it just feels like somehow we have to get to the point again where it's not how much money you can put into a campaign. And I know that there's a lot of levels to that, but it just made me feel good when I see 75 people in a room talking to a candidate who's willing to answer questions.
Yeah.
Right now, we don't see as much of that with some of the lack of town halls and the like. But again, I have to admit, I have not been in a good space for a number of months now, to be honest with you. But when you see something like that, and you see something like that, it makes you feel good that these people really do want to do it the right way.
We have a resident doctor here on the show, Dr. Robert from Richland Center, listening to WRCE. This is great, great info. It says, legally, speaking of Schimmel coming out and saying he has concerns about people in nursing homes voting, saying legally you have the right to vote unless it is removed by a court. So activating a healthcare power of attorney does not remove the ability to vote. Guardianship medical forms include a question whether the physician or psychiatrist feels the person can maintain the ability to vote. So even people under guardianship may retain the ability to vote depending on how the judge rules. So if a person in a nursing home states they want to vote, the staff in the facility are obligated to help them unless they have a guardianship prohibiting them from voting. Great information.
I was listening to you on my drive here, and when you were talking about Brad Schimmel and older Wisconsinites, my first thought is, did he hire Eric Hovde as his campaign manager? Right. I mean, it sounds like this from the same playbook, and it didn't work.
I believe he's growing a mustache now, Schimmel is. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Tim in Whitewater. Tim, if you can be brief, please, go ahead.
Yeah, the other aspect of this is there are a lot of people. It isn't just the voting. There are a lot of people who put their homes in a trust at the behest of lawyers, which creates problems for, and I worked in a setting like this. Then when you try to get people in there, you know, the lawyer's got the money, the family's in the home is in a trust, the kids get the money, and then the rest of us in society get left picking up the tab for someone in a nursing home. So that's it's nothing to do with the voting aspect, but it's a real aspect of it.
Yeah.
There is a, you know, some of this is a result of, and I saw it too, the facility has to be careful too. We have seen cases where, you know, somebody's daughter comes in, they're well-intended, but they're going around and trying to get a good facility will work with people on allowing them to vote if they are competent.
Right.
If the facility isn't on its toes, you can have somebody come in and help, you know, walk through the building and you know, get people to vote even when they're not competent or
Tim, I'm up against the clock. Tim, I'm up against the clock. I want to get Cindy in quickly. Cindy Appleton, 30 seconds. What do you got?
Well, I met a friend of yours last night at Adam Kissinger's speech up in Green Bay. Chrissy Lyer?
Oh, Dr. Lyerly. Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Our old friend
Kristen Bry. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's Kristen Bry. That's it. Yep. She was up there.
She's fantastic.
I just want to say that, as Adam Kissinger is no longer Republican either. He has come from the dark side over to the other side.
Appreciate it, Cindy. Chad Holmes, thanks so much. Catch Chad every day on WXCL from 8 until 10. Have a great call down here.
Thank you.
Back after this.
News from the center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Marquette's newest poll has dropped. We'll be joined at 2 p.m. by Dr. Charles Franklin to discuss what Wisconsinites know about the candidates for the Supreme Court and what are our opinions about Elon.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Tariff troubles dragging on stocks again despite President Trump's latest one-month exemption on some Mexican goods, along with yesterday's 30-day reprieve for car imports. Those companies participating in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal. Businesses also, including farmers, say they're dealing with thin cost margins, too. Jack Vesey is a produce grower in California.
Any type of tariff or trade war, there's winners and losers. There's certain things that, you know, it might be a positive for us. There may be some things that might be negatives. You know, concern on fertilizer price and some of our inputs. You know, if those increase, that's going to put a damper on things. That's going to increase our costs.
The White House Special Envoy Steve Witkoff says President Trump's call with Hamas leaders centering on the release of all hostages. Hamas earlier had rejected the demand until they say the second phase of the ceasefire deal goes into effect. The Vatican says Pope Francis had a restful night of sleep as he continues to battle pneumonia. This is ABC News.